Before today's show officially starts, it's not officially starting now. This is pre-official start of today's show. I need to clarify something I said yesterday concerning the arc and concerning us focusing on our call now, and then we will go back for our loved ones later. I'm afraid I raised more questions maybe there. People were intrigued. A couple people wrote me intrigued, but they wanted to know more. And what I should not have said, go back. I meant it in the sense of we're not going to forget them. But indeed, if the example of Joseph is any example, and it is, it's that these people that are now being, yes, truly left behind will come to us. And the time I'm speaking of, I made it sound like we're coming back to this life. Like we're going to be snatched away and then we're coming back to this life to save them, to bring them to where we are. No. Must clarify that. That's why I wanted to go to this trouble to make sure that you understood what I meant but did not accurately say. It's the Great White Throne. It's that they will die. Remember, I think I did say that. They are going to die. They're not going to get it in this life, apparently, unless by some miracle at the end of this age they do. But they're going to be standing at the Great White Throne, and then we are going to be instrumental at that time. So it's not like we're going on in God and in Christ and we're forgetting all these people. We're going back for them in the sense that they're still on our minds, they're still on our hearts. And when they rise, they're going to be dead for the 1,000 years because they're not believers. When they rise at the Great White Throne, there we will be. Joseph figures, Christ figures, who have not forgotten about them. And even though they may have done us great wrong in this life, we are there to bring them to God, to bring them to an apprehension of God. And that is what I meant by the fact that they are going to be where we are. It's not that they're going to be in the same place as far as the same rulership, the same place of ruling and reigning with Christ, but they are going to finally, in their life, taste of God. They're going to know then what we were talking about back here on earth. Oh, this is what you were talking about. It will be the illumination of the Great White Throne. And now we will join today's show at its proper beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you an announcement about a video sent to me yesterday by a believer in Washington State, I believe it is, Dave Ward. I watched this video. I was absolutely astounded. This is the best video on the September 12th constellation I've ever seen. And in fact, September 23rd, I'm sorry. And in fact, it's not really about the September 23rd constellation, but it involves it. The video is called Revelation 12 Virgo Inseminated Conception Comet. I'm linking you to this, and I'm almost tempted to tell you to go watch it, then come back to me. But then again, listen up. This guy, Luis Vega, this video is so great because, well, for one thing, the information is unbelievable. You're going to watch something in fast motion, and you're going to watch it in slow motion. You're going to watch Virgo inseminated 9 months ago. It's just, I'm going to give you that hint. But this video is so plain. I mean, the guy comes on and practically apologizes for it. He says, I'm not a YouTuber. I don't know much about this. And I debated whether or not to even bring this up, but I found something. I saw something on my Stellarium program. Another thing this video is going to do for you is it's going to show you the inner workings. It's going to show you the mechanics of the Stellarium program as this guy, Luis Vega, works it. And he also goes to a thing called the Sky Live. I mean, this video can't be denied. And as you watch this thing happening, it's real. It happened 9 months ago. It's already done. But when you see what happened, to me, I just watched it agape. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It was like God porn. It was like watching God porn. It's like, is this for real? whoa. And the guy did slow motion. He did fast motion. This is about a comet. And I guarantee you that the comet you're about to watch is named by God. This comet has another name, an assigned name by the person who named the comet, whoever discovered it, whatever astronomer discovered this comet. It's a Russian guy, I think. I don't know his name. And the guy who makes the video doesn't even attempt to pronounce the Russian guy's name. So many consonants and vowels are involved with this guy's name. But that's why I like it, because this guy doing this video, he's amazed at his own video. He's saying, look at this. He keeps calling the comet this thing. Look at this thing. I mean, this space body has been known by God for thousands and thousands of years. And God is swinging it around. And he swung it around at just this time, 9 months ago. And this kid, this guy found it. And he goes, look at this thing. And he's just so astounded at his own discovery. And I love it that so far this video has only 13,000 views. I love it. And it starts very boring. When you start to watch it, you're going to think, what? This is very boring. Exactly. There's no Hollywood fanfare. There's no Jaws music and stupid flashing purple and green graphics, whatever. It's fantastic. You don't need an orchestra to introduce it. A horn section, a trombone section, cymbals. No, it's just the simple truth. So along that line, I want to give you a verse from Luke 21. Then I'm going to, on this show, I got a lot to do on this show. Then I'm going to amalgamate Isaiah 43 and Matthew 7, as I promised to you I would do. I've been studying a lot about the seven ecclesias. I'm going to give you more on that later. But listen to Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall be falling by the edge of the sword and shall be led into captivity into all nations. This is speaking of his people, the Jews. And Jerusalem shall be trodden by the nations until the eras of the nations may be fulfilled. That sounds like Paul's prophecy. Isn't this amazing? Look, here's a cross reference from Jesus Christ in Luke 21. This falls in line with Romans 11:25. That callousness in part on Israel has come until the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved. So Jerusalem shall be trodden by the nations, and that began in 70 AD, I think. And Jerusalem shall be trodden by the nations until the era of the nations may be fulfilled. And we're looking at the fulfillment of the era of the nations. As it's fulfilled, it will be on the wane, as I've been discussing. And there shall be signs. Listen to this. This is Jesus Christ. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the constellations. What more do you want? There shall be signs. A sign is something that you're going to see. But again, this really dovetails with Daniel, who says that in the end, seal up the prophecy until the end when knowledge shall increase. Knowledge of the signs, knowledge of the prophecy. Signs in the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon are both involved in the September 23rd alignment. And the constellations. Two constellations are involved in the September 23rd alignment, Leo and Virgo, the Lion of Judah and the Virgin. And this thing you're going to see in the video that my sister is linking for you down there underneath this video. And on the earth, pressure of nations in perplexity. So there's something else is going to happen, because not many people are going to even know about this constellation of September 23rd. And the people themselves who are promoting it are going to be all Eeyore-ish on September 24th because they think this is the rapture. And again, the more I look at this, I realize it is the beginning of the calling of Israel. I said that the light bulbs are going to come on, and I made it a dramatic thing on September 23rd, but I'm seeing more that it's going to be the beginning, and that there's going to be an awakening, and the people are going to go to gather with like-minded people of the secret lost Israel, the lost 10 tribes, and they're going to gather in the staging area of Turkey. And I have an article for you about Turkey-Israeli relations, about a document that was signed this year. I think Turkey plays into this. This is my own original research, but I'm looking for the revival or possibly the first time that these ecclesias in Turkey, formerly Asia Minor, have existed. It's possible that some of them existed in the first century. There's a lot of controversy involved in that. I found a couple websites saying that these churches of Revelation chapter 2 are all future, the ecclesias, so-called. King James calls them synagogues. They're not. They're ecclesias. Synagogues make you think that they're official buildings and whatnot. They're not. They're conclaves of people. So there shall be signs, nations in perplexity. So something visible is also going to happen in the heavens. I'm not sure what that is. At the resounding of the sea and the shaking, at the chilling of humans, well, the resounding of the sea. We know that the moon plays a huge role in the sea. And so we might not be looking at another earthquake and an ensuing tsunami here. We might be looking at lunar activity that's going to affect the sea and bring monumental waves or something. Anyway, the nations are going to be in perplexity at what's coming. Well, perplexity is going to be replaced by panic. They can attribute some large cresting sea or a surge of the ocean. They can say, oh, it's just a weird lunar phase, or it's a tsunami or whatever, but there's going to come the day when they can't attribute it to any natural cause. The chilling of humans from fear and apprehensiveness of that of which is coming on the inhabited earth. What is coming? So this thing, it's although it's going to happen swiftly, it'll happen gradually swiftly. Within the swiftness, it'll be happening like a month at a time. Not a year at a time. We're no more of that. It's like a month at a time things are going to start happening. But the way I figure it, we're still 4 years out from the beginning of the tribulation. So we have 4 years for things to start happening. And I think I'm going to assign 3.5 years based on Revelation 12, 1,260 days, that this called out Israel goes into the wilderness. I'm now giving them 1,260 days based on Revelation 12. Going to go back there line by line to become awakened. But it does begin. There is a sign for the beginning of it on September 23rd. And this video you're going to watch is going to like, yeah, okay, that seals the deal. It sealed the deal for me. I'm watching this thing like, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, that is, after these things, they shall be seeing the sign of the Son of Man, the Son, not a sign, but seeing the Son of Mankind coming in a cloud with power and much glory. And we're told that the kingdom comes not by observation. I've explained that verse to you. It comes without scrutiny. You won't need to scrutinize it because you'll be able to observe it everywhere. Now, I'm going back to Isaiah 43, verses 4 through 10. I'm going to start with verse 7. No, I'm not. I'm going to start with verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. That's where I am right now, in the west. That is the western hemisphere. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, because that's where they are. But I'm telling you, the sons of Israel are packed in among an even larger number of apostates. So if you're looking at 144,000, you may think, wow, Martin, that's a lot of people. However, it's a small amount within a greater amount of people who are apostates, who will fall away, who will fall into the category of Matthew 7, which I'm going to read to you next. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Israel is God's witness. Bring out the people who are blind. So that's where they are now. That's why I am telling you where to look for them, among the blind. You're not going to look for, somebody once said, Martin, you say that the Israel still exists. You say that God still knows where his people are. But Martin, where are there any people doing the law? Where are there any people obeying God? Where are there any people who are perfectly observing the feasts? My response is, since when does any of Israel do anything like that? Again, I repeat this, if you want to find the true lost house of Israel, look for Israelite traits. And I'm not talking about people who are doing the law, observing the feasts, being good boys and girls. I'm talking about people who are hypocrites. Look for people who use God for their own gain, who take his name in vain, who lord it over other people, who are after money, who bludgeon the other people with their God superiority. This is Israel, and this is what you're going to find. Back to Isaiah 43. All the nations have gathered together so that the people may be assembled. Assembled. This is what is going to be an assembly line starting on September 23rd, I believe. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, quote, it is true. Yeah. All the nations have gathered together so that the people may be assembled. Who among them can declare this? Well, we're declaring it now because the light is coming on us and our generation, because this is the time of the end. And I say, let the scoffers present their witnesses. If you disagree with this, after you watch these things or you read these scriptures, if you see the signs in the heavens that are there, as Jesus himself said in Luke 21, four signs, a sign is going to be seen and it's going to be known. Otherwise, the very appellation of it, the very nomination, calling it a sign, is ridiculous. It's not only redundant, it's superfluous. Who among them can declare this? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified. Or if they can't come up with anything against this, let them hear it and say it is true. Yeah, that's Isaiah verse 9, Isaiah 43 verse 9. You are my witnesses, declared the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Know, believe, and understand. And with Israel, this involves signs. And a sign by its very nature is something that is known, something that is evident, something that is seen. The people making it evident might not even be a part of it. Like I say, these poor people are going to turn into Eeyore on September 24th. Sorry, we missed the whole thing. No, you didn't. You got it exactly right. But it's not the rapture, so-called, of the so-called church, what you're calling the rapture of the church. It's not. You're being tricked by the word in Revelation 12, snatched away. It's the same word, harpazo, Greek word, used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. Yes, I know it is. You're right. But it doesn't mean it's the same event. It's just the same word. There's an ecclesia in the wilderness, described in Acts chapter 7 by Stephen, I think. There's an ecclesia of the silversmiths, also in the book of Acts, chapter 17. There's an ecclesia called the body of Christ. There's a circumcision ecclesia. Ecclesia is a generic word that can be used to describe any number of called out people. There's going to be an ecclesia formed in seven different areas in modern day Turkey to be a staging ground for a taking of Israel, the real Israel that will come into the land, not the fake Israel. So this word harpazo, snatching away, these people are snatched away toward God. What a difference between to God. It could be said Martin Zender is going to Chicago. Martin Zender is called to Chicago, or is going toward. To and toward, one is a process, one is a state. One is more emphatically going there. One is like moving toward it. To and toward. And the Concordant makes this distinction. They are snatched away, Revelation 12 says, toward God and toward his throne. But the King James, and even if you take the Concordant version without looking at the superscript D above the two, you would say they're snatched to God and to his throne. It sounds like they're there, or they're going there and won't stop till they get there. But toward is a whole different thing. We'll get into detail on that. Now to Matthew 7. I have time. Now, this group in Isaiah 43, who's called from the north, the south, the east, and the west, where the house of Israel, according to Amos 9:9, has them scattered. There's a core group among these people, even though it's a large group, that is going to be called and awakened, and they're going to be taken for 1,260 days, according to Revelation 12. They're going to be taken to the wilderness, and they're going to become a vast army, and they're going to be now enlightened by God. It's going to be a reforming of the mind. It's going to be a repentance, but it's going to be relatively rapidly. It's not going to come by any book. Well, I take that back, because it's going to come from a God-inspired book, the book of the unveiling. Because I'll talk about this when I get to the seven ecclesias. The book of Revelation is written to enlighten the Jews who find themselves in the time of the end. And so the book of Revelation is going to have great weight at that time. Nobody's going to be reading the letters of Paul because the body of Christ will be gone. They will be reading the unveiling. And this information in the first two chapters, chapter two, namely concerning the seven ecclesias, this is going to be very vital information because these people who have loved the things of Israel, in every reference to every ecclesia, there is reference made to an historical event in Israel concerning people. And these things are to be used as learning tools. Remember, all things are written for their admonition. So they're going to see the example of Balak. They're going to see the example of Abraham. They're going to see the example, good examples and bad examples from their own history. And they're going to be able to apply them to the present day of what they're going through. And they're promised things if they overcome. And their discipline. This is what makes me think that, I didn't mean to get onto this, but that this September 23rd is the beginning of this awakening, because they're going to be educated by God in the wilderness, by Jesus Christ, possibly himself, just as Paul was educated in the desert in Arabia by Jesus Christ. He went into Arabia for 3 years. He was educated by Jesus Christ. Thus also these Jews will be in the wilderness for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. And I remind you that it is exactly 3.5 years from September 23rd to what Bader says will be the beginning of the tribulation in spring of 2021. You can count it off if you want. September of 2017. September of 2018 would be 1 year. September of 2019 would be year two. September of 2020 would be 3 years. And if you add 6 months to that, 3.5 years, you will be at the spring of 2021. So that's why I am seeing an extra 3.5 years. I'm seeing another 3.5 years before the final 2 3.5 years, which make up the final 7 years, Daniel's 70th heptad, the fabled tribulation. Now, I'm going to start this, but by no means finish it today. And I beg your indulgence on the information about the Indianapolis conference. Give me one more day. I got screwed up on the days. I told you that today was going to be Friday. I got screwed up on the days. In fact, tomorrow will be Friday, and tomorrow that information will be up for you. It's still a month in advance, right? Okay. I'm still doing pretty good for me. Luke 7, our Lord again. Enter through the cramped gate. The cramped gate. That was a Freudian slip. It's the cramped gate. Yeah, this is Luke 7:13. That was a good Freudian slip. It was really good. Enter through the cramped gate. For broad is the gate, spacious is the way leading into destruction. So it's funny. The cramped gate. Yeah, if you're going through the narrow way, if you're going through the way less traveled, was that Robert Browning who wrote that poem, The Way Less Traveled? Can't remember my English literature there. But it's a crapped gate too, because we're going, those who are being made ready and being made fit for the kingdom of God, whether it's the earthly kingdom or the celestial one, it's a crapped gate. Who keeps dinging me over here? It's a cramped gate. And it's also a crapped gate. For broad is the gate and spacious is the way which is leading into destruction. That is loss, aeonian loss. Destruction simply means loss. Many people will read eternal destruction into that. Those people are making a huge mistake, and many are those entering through it. Yet what a cramped gate, or a crapped gate, and narrow way is the one leading into life. And again, this is not eternal life per se. It is aeonian life, and few are those who are finding it. That's the relative viewpoint. The absolute viewpoint is a few are those God is introducing to it. Okay, I'm out of time. I'm straining your patience. I know you like these shows to go longer because you love this information. I'm going to give you fact after fact after fact. I'm going to give you times and seasons. I'm going to show you the celestial bodies. I'm going to read to you the words of our Lord, the words of Isaiah, the words of Ezekiel. I'm going to tie it in with the seven ecclesias. I'm going to show you Israeli-Turkey relations. I'm going to give you information about a document that was signed this year. No, 2016. Sorry, is this 2017? Concerning this and why I think that's important. And then, of course, I'm compelled to talk to you about the Mount of Transfiguration for some reason. So that's going to be a one-day detour, but you're going to like it. And then we're going to go back to Revelation 12. And then we're going to have this done. And then we're going to go to the last chapter of the unveiling, finally. And then this series will be over and something new will begin. In the meantime, I love what the angel Gabriel said to Daniel, seal up the scroll, because in the end times, in the last days, knowledge will increase. And now the knowledge of the scroll and the details concerning it are being unveiled through really vessels chosen by God. This guy, Louis Varga, who stumbled upon this conception comet, and me, Martin Zender, a guy in a laundry room, just putting together pieces. I feel like the assembler, assembling this, assembling that, doing some original research along with it, but bringing to you the spiritual insights of worthy men who have studied, who have found it important to know the things of God. These are the things that are important today. My God, I see it more and more clearly. To be not consumed, but to be engaged, to be focused on things above, things above. You can take that metaphorically, you can take it allegorically, like, yes, our celestial calling, but if you look above, you also see the stars, you also see the sun and the moon, the very same things, and the constellations, the very things Jesus Christ himself said would be for signs, and that would bring to the nations consternation, consternation over the constellation. And yet, I don't see why. I don't see why. I'm thrilled by it. I like to see things rocked. I like to see the heavens in clashing. I like to see comets and meteors and asteroids. Oh my, and the sun darkened, the moon turned to blood. Yeah, bring it on, because the end for the world is the beginning for us.